Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talks about prayer, actually all the way through verse 15, but I stopped it at verse 13 because of time. I wanted to talk about the first few verses for just a few minutes. We'll sing some other songs, then we'll look at the next portion, and then we're going to take prayer, praise reports and prayer requests. And I know there's some really pressing issues on many people's hearts, so I want you to know we'll spend time in prayer as a group. And when you pray, he was talking to them. Now, the first thing I want you to note in these first few verses, he says what he doesn't want as well as what he's looking for. And we got to ask ourselves, do we match up here? Are we doing it right? And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. It's a pretty powerful statement. And then verse 6, but you. In other words, that's the word for you and I. You might want to highlight, underline, mark the verse 6 out. But you, when you pray, do what? Go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And then he goes on, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Several very, very, very obvious statements are made in here, but before I go any further, I wonder if you really thought about that last statement and the implications of it. He's coming down here, talk about repetition. He says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. When I look at that phrase, that last part, I am reminded that I not to do this out of a ritual. And it's very, very easy to do this out of a ritual. You know, I presume one of the best ways to have a meaningful devotional time is set up a time of day and a place and then have a structure to it. I'm not denying that that's the case, but when you do have that, you run the risk of becoming mechanical in this. And I am mindful of this last phrase for this purpose. Even if you have your prayer list, don't become mechanical. Stop. Give some serious thought about what you want to talk to the Lord about. What are some of the issues he wants you to bring to him? You know, I was at the dinner table tonight with three of my grandkids. I was asking the one how his day was, and he kind of says, okay. He said, but it turned out okay. Okay. He is a first grader. And I said, well, help me a little. Help me a little understand. Yeah, okay, but it turned out okay. What do you mean by that? He says, oh, Grandpa, I don't really want to tell you. No, that really stirred my interest. Okay. Because he was thinking about bringing it to me, and he was mindful of the way I might respond. He knew what he had done. He had been able to make a trip to the principal's office. But it had a good outcome. Apparently he responded appropriately, so he was able to return to class. No one got a phone call. Nothing on that line. But I had been thinking about this passage. And I was mindful that sometimes, many times actually, when people are really struggling with life, and you're leaning in the direction that you know God doesn't want you to go, you don't pray about it. You understand what I'm saying? You don't bring it up. No, I don't want to bring it up with God. But do you know, I'm the only one that thinks this way? But I'm mindful that he already knows. That's what this verse says. For your Father knows the things that you have need of. He already knows. And that's why for me personally, I have this list of verses that I often will read over in times like that, that talk about the seeing eyes of the Lord. He sees everything. There isn't a dark place that he misses the events. Light and darkness make no difference to him. He sees it all, and therefore I need to bring everything to him. Even though it seems like, well, maybe I would hide it from him. And I know others, I know believers, really, you know, believers that truly know the Lord that are struggling with sin. One of the problems is that they do not bring it to the Lord. Their choices, the thoughts that are going on in their mind. And let it not be us, because that is not a way of finding victory. Okay. First, I want to say that he says, boasting prayers are not a good idea. Now, we do see this from time to time. We see people that love to make a scene of their religious stand and their position, and they pray that way. And this clearly is saying, don't do that. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. And that's the key right there. They are not doing it. They're not praying to connect with God. They're praying to look good in front of others. Be careful with that. And that directly ties with what he tells us to do. Private prayers are to be private, heartfelt prayers. And the emphasis of I trust you see the emphasis of verse 6 is all about a horizontal view of life. It's all about what others are thinking. And verse 6 says, no. Be tunnel visioned in at looking at the Lord. Get your eyes up and pray to him, because that's what matters. Now, can we pray publicly, and is it a blessing to pray publicly? There are other passages that make it very clear. It is a good idea to gather together and pray. One of the reasons why we gather on a Wednesday night. But when we do so, let's make sure that we are still approaching first and foremost, and then, as it implies in this passage, almost exclusively praying to connect with God. And then verse 7 comes back, and it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition, and that's supposed to be repetitive prayers, and I miscopied that, okay? When I was typing it, I mistyped it. It's repetitive prayers, to avoid them. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do. Now, here's another issue. Think about the way you pray. Do you have a certain phrase that you always start with and end with? And do have you got it so structured because you've been a believer for a period of time that it's mechanical words rather than heartfelt words? And everyone's got to look at themselves on this. But we need to be mindful that he is not looking for those kind of memorized phrases. He's looking for us to connect with him and talk with him face to face, one to one, and in a unique and personal way as we converse with others. It is just so critical that it remains a conversation, but it's with the Almighty. Unique privilege. Make sense? So we have a couple warnings. One is the repetitiveness, and the other one is the boasting, and we are reminded to make it personal, heartfelt. And now we'll come back, and we'll sing a couple hymns, and then we'll come back and sing, and then look at the 9 through 13. And you will see in 9 through 13, there are 9 elements. There's 9 phrases, not at all creative with me. If you look at the passage, you will see that it's very clearly 9 phrases. And we'll just look at them and quickly see what it tells us about what should be part of our prayer life. Now, as I mentioned, there are 9 elements in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. And again, there's nothing original about this. This is probably one of the most analyzed passages in Scripture, at least one of them. In this manner, therefore pray. So Jesus returned to his disciples and said, now listen, this is the way you're supposed to do it. But I remind you, this is right after the verses he said, don't do this stuff in repetition. Vain repetition. So simply quoting it is not what he's calling for. He can't. It'd be an inconsistency. You understand the tension there? So he is laying out a model for us that is to guide us. It's an outline, not a word-for-word way to pray. Do you understand the difference? And it's so critical because many times this is taught as if, well, if you memorize it and say this over and over and over every time you have a prayer, you're going to be covered. No, that is not at all the heart, because it would be inconsistent with what he had just taught them about vain repetition. In this manner, therefore, pray, your Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I think of that last phrase, and what we see so prevalent in our day, the day in which we live, is so stamped by radical Islam and by their vicious, you know, satanic actions, yelling in Arabic that their God would be glorified. Well, their God is probably, because there, no one other than the evilest of evil ones could do what they're doing in anyone's name and think he'd be glorified, unless it would be Satan himself. This first phrase, our Father in heaven. You know, it reminds us of something that is really, really, really critical, in that we need to approach prayer with faith. Our Father in heaven, that is not something you and I can know from scientific information. We know that by faith. We have heard it, and God has given us the faith to believe it. Now, I am reasonably certain all of us have connected with that, but we need to stop and recognize, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Our Father in heaven. I was with a man not long ago, and that's individuals here. Okay, so I don't know how to handle this now. But was talking about, you know what, I'm looking forward to being in heaven. You know, there's a beauty to this when we recognize God himself is present, and he has promised that we will be absent from the body and present with him. This is really a beautiful future that we have. So it's faith is element number one. I've got to go much faster here. Hallowed be your name. What is it talking about? When we hallow the name, we set it apart. We worship it. We worship the name of our God. We recognize neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. Very, very, very important. That when we pray, we do it in faith, and we approach it recognizing we are setting ourselves apart for him. That's why it's to be done in such a private way. Even if it's in public setting, there needs to be a privateness about it, a connection that's personal directly with God. That's fascinating. I do have a lot of grandkids around a good bit, and we're teaching these little ones to pray. And It is really, really fascinating to see how they start to catch on. Just by modeling, you know, you model it and then they pray and they listen to the other ones pray. And it is it's a God thing. God gets a hold of them. Or how else could this, you know, these little guys that are otherwise pretty mischievous all of a sudden start praying the sweetest prayers? You sit there and say, Lord, if I could only pray like that. You know, after so many years, you'd think I would have that down. And theirs are so much more precious because it's that genuineness. And they truly are setting, you know, they're connecting. You know, I don't know how else, I don't know how to put it in words, but we are to pray that way. Setting ourselves apart for Him in worship. And then it says, your kingdom come. It is not about putting money in the bank for tomorrow. It is not about a vacation that is dead ahead, or a birthday celebration, or a rendezvous with other friends. No, that isn't the number one thing that ought to be our heart's desire. It should be that His will be done, His kingdom come. All this garbage that goes on, you know, we just heard, how many of us listened to the president last night? And you listen to what was said, and you, as a believer, you look at what's going on in the world, and you just ache. There's no connection with what I believe the Lord would want and what was being promoted. I just, you know, we are just disconnected as a people. I don't believe other generations of Americans have been this bad. I really don't think so. But we clearly have just gotten so disconnected, we don't even really know what reality is anymore. And we talk as if it's the important thing. Kingdom come. It's an expectation. Because here's the truth. It's coming. You recognize that? As bad as this world is, He is coming again and His kingdom is going to be set up. And we're pawns, we're soldiers in this battle, but it's happening. And we ought to be excited about that. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that we really do have a responsibility on. We're talking about submission to His will. You know how we make His will be done on this earth? You and I do what we ought to do. Because He is very, very, He's very concerned of the choices you and I make. And His will is accomplished as we choose wisely. We choose not to sin. We choose to glorify Him. We choose not to live for ourselves. We choose to live for others. That's how His will is done. It's really, really sweet. It is, it's not about us. It's about our Lord. And then give us this day our daily bread. He wants us to come to Him. Say, Lord, you know what? I don't know how this is going to work out. This is a problem I do not have an answer for. I do not know how to respond to this person. I do not know how to meet this requirement that seems to be so important. But I don't have the resources to do this. So Lord, I need your help. There's a sweetness in praying this way. And I'm telling you, that's what I'm talking about, seeing the hand of God. Start praying that way, bringing those things to Him. And what you see is His provision. Now, I'll be very transparent to you. I had some bills that were due, and I was short of funds to meet the bills. And as the Lord would have it, I hadn't been thinking all the way through this, and I start teaching seminary tomorrow morning. And I don't get a lot of money for teaching these classes, that's for sure, but I do get a little. And guess what? it was a little more than what I needed. And, you know, it dwarfs all this other stuff. When you see the hand of the Lord so tangibly, you say, wow, this is really cool. It's really cool bringing the need to Him and saying, I'm dependent on you. And then, there it is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Each one of us need to be going to the Lord, and most of the time it's relational. You know, the real problems are with people. Is it not? The real problems are, we get sideways with different people are doing things that you say, why are they doing this? Why are they so committed to doing things that hurt others? I don't know. But then we pray about them and you see the hand of the Lord work. It's thrilling. You know, I think of your situation, Ruth. Am I at liberty to speak to that at all? Okay. No, it's the other Ruth that's right behind you. But we'll talk about during the prayer times, but it is in situation that I'm talking about the Williams family, the one that is incarcerated and all their kids are dispersed. And the system is cutting off all communications of the kids with the parents in prison. But all of a sudden things seem to be changing. You know, I never thought of that, but it appears that there's now some legal action underway that says that the parents may be able to direct who has control of their kids, even though they're incarcerated. And they have come to the Duicks and said, would you take the kids? Now, this has got to get through the court system. And, you know, it's probably a year off. I mean, nothing like this would happen fast, I wouldn't imagine. But who knows, even then? You know, it could happen tomorrow. Who knows? But that's what we're talking about. We don't have to bring the answers to the Almighty, Sovereign, Omniscient God. We need to bring the problems to Him. Yet we, even though we are commanded and told and told and told and commanded to do this, we don't do it. And if you aren't doing it, you are the loser. That's the only explanation. Because He is truly involved in our lives. And when you start praying that way, all of a sudden, you start seeing the hand of the Lord, and then you start getting, man, this is really, really, really exciting to think that God knows where I'm at. And He knows exactly my situation. And as a matter of fact, it's very humbling. Now I'm going to just move through the rest of these. I get caught up here. Forgive us our debts. What is that saying? Confession. A few of us in this room are going through a book called Men of Honor, a Bible study of Men of Honor. And one of the emphasis of that Bible study is, listen, sin messes up our ability to do right and to have God powerfully work in our lives. And so you know what a key is? Be transparent about this. Confess our sins. Purpose to live holy lives if we want the hand of God and the power of God in our lives. I don't know about you, I want the power of God in my life. You know, I wanna see the Lord use me in the lives of others and in just the way I respond to life. Forgive us our debts. Confession. As we forgive our debtors, that's compassion. As you hear the sirens and in where I live, you know, you see the people running into the place next door and they're cuffing everybody and putting them in the wagon and hauling them away and you start to want to cheer. No, that might have been the way I used to feel, but I rarely feel that way about this stuff. I hurt when I see this going down. And that's exactly. Yeah, they made some really ugly choices or that wouldn't be happening to them. But I pray that when they get down to the Hennepin County Jail, some of our men that are down there on a daily basis would share the Word of God with them. And we'd have some other testimonies of people coming to Christ or rededicating their life. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now this I was going to use the word humility, but dependence is probably better. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil. And so, you know, the one thing to recognize, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, but we aren't. If we try to do this on our own, you know, if you think too highly of yourself, be careful lest you fall. You know, there's all sorts of passages about be careful to depend on the Lord and not to think more of yourself than you ought to think. And then the last one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. For how long? Forever. And that includes right now. Acknowledgement. Sweet. I hope it was a blessing to you. It was a blessing for me as I looked through this, thought about it. And the key is not to just say, oh yeah, that was cool, I'll write that down. No, it's to really ask yourself, how do I put this to practice in my own prayer life? That's the point. And it ends with amen. Let it be so. Let's go this direction. This is a great way to go.